and welcome back to Bo My God. I'm your host, Bo Bradley, and I'm very excited to be back here chatting with you all. A brief recap. Last episode, we met with Marty from Fake and Basic. We talked about so much. He shared his recent top surgery experience, the good and the bad. We talked about mental health and finding trans competent healthcare providers. We chatted about trans masculinity and masculinity in general. At fake period n period basic or at fakeandbasic.com. This week, we're going to keep it intimate and personal with our very first repeat guest, back by popular demand, my partner, Rose Bradley. Welcome, Rose. So excited to chat with you on the podcast again.
Hey, excited to be here.
For those who didn't tune in to Rose's episode last season, Rose is finishing up her last semester at the Pennsylvania State University, where they have been studying psychology and criminal justice, researching ways to make the course and syllabi more inclusive, and so much more. Rose's pronouns are she, they, and they come from years of emergency services background and are not only my partner, but my best friend. So, you know, just a little.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to chat about this week, because it seems to be what a lot of my social media comments and conversations have been about, and that's the updates on my transition. Been on testosterone for just over 2 months now. It's actually, this week will be my 10th shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
So different changes. Obviously, my voice is different.
Squeaky.
Squeaky. This week, I feel like it's really just.
Oh, yeah.
Very, at the first like few weeks, there was no change. Mm-hmm. Just maybe mentally I wanted there to be, but, a few weeks in, I feel like there was like a little bit of a drop, but like it would come and go.
Yeah.
And now I feel like on Monday I woke up and it was just,
I was going to say the same thing. You literally, it's like, you just woke up and it like things just settled.
Yeah, literally. And that the weirdest thing about that is like, so like many other trans mask folks, I started learning about transitioning kind of on YouTube and watching personal experiences and on Instagram and one-on-one conversations with some friends. And one of the things that I read or watched a lot about was about how like weird your throat feels when all this starts to change. And I can't tell you over the past 10 shots, so 9-10 weeks, how much it's been like, just like, I feel like I'm getting sick. My throat, there's like something in my throat, like just all these weird, itchy feelings. And I don't know how else to explain it. And it's great, knock on wood. Haven't been getting sick.
Yeah.
But like that feeling, I don't know if you all can feel that feeling, but I feel like when you talk about feeling sick in the back of your throat just gets like, ugh, mm-hmm. You just, yeah.
Which I always liked.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't like getting sick, but I always liked having like a raspier voice. I thought it was like cooler than my normal voice.
Okay. I thought you were saying you liked the physical sensation because I was like,
oh,
it was
no.
Freaking awful.
Was it viralization?
Viralization.
Of the vocal cords. Yeah.
Yes. That's what happens when people assign female at birth take testosterone. Yep.
Learn that from you.
Thanks. Anyways, so besides my voice, there's been some body hair changes. So before I started taking testosterone, I had a few chin hairs, you know, just gonna own it.
It happens, y'all.
And a mustache and just like a couple little things that were very fair and light. And I would shave them a lot, not a lot, but like I would just get rid of them, pluck them, wax them, whatever I've done over the years. And recently they just like, I shave them and it's like back the next day. Yeah. It's like I have a 5 o'clock shadow in like a dime sized circumference in like three places.
That's really accurate.
Yeah.
That's cute though. I think it's definitely foreshadowing about how.
Foreshadowing. That's amazing.
That was good.
Let's see. What else has really changed? I feel like I've gotten a little more, I don't want to say confidence, mm-hmm. but like one of the things I was really hoping was that I would feel a little bit more myself or feel a little bit more comfortable. And I think that's definitely been occurring subconsciously and consciously. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. It's just like, I know there's been a few questions about like emotions and that kind of stuff. And I know things like the L word and other media portrayals of testosterone historically have been very like aggressive, have been very like, once the character starts taking testosterone, they're like angry and mean and can't handle their emotions and are terrible in a relationship. And I honestly feel like if anything, I've been more in touch.
Totally.
I think we've had like deeper conversations recently than ever.
Certainly.
Which, if you know us, we get into deep conversations. So it's almost profound that they're getting deeper.
Yeah.
Like my voice.
Oh.
Sorry. Great. Thanks. But also I have like, my leg hair is growing in places it never did before. There's hair on my feet. There's hair on my butt. Mm-hmm. There's hair starting to come in on my hands a little bit. Yeah. Overall body hair.
Woohoo.
Let's see what else has changed. My skin, I feel like I've always been a very like tactile person with my hands. And I think that it's just like a different sensation in touching things. Mm-hmm. And in my own, like when I rub my, right now I'm rubbing my finger and my index finger and my thumb together to give you that visual. And it just like my skin, like the surface just feels thicker and greasier. And there's often been times in the past couple of weeks where I just feel grimy. Mm-hmm. And I just like, feel like I just keep jumping in the shower or keep like washing my face extra. And it just hasn't been enough.
Yeah.
My acne is back.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Puberty 2.0.
My period stopped. What? I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm afraid to say it stopped because watch, it'll come back now. Probably. Or like, it'll just be like, it's just like fizzling, but
right, no.
This instant second. Yeah. but yeah, so far so good on that. And that is good news for me. Mm-hmm. Last week was my first full dose. Mm-hmm. And so to give you an update on the medical side, I guess I will be on this for 5 more weeks and then I'll get blood work and then we'll kind of check in and see how things are going with my doctor and work from there. We tapered up. Rose did my shots so far, like every single time I've had an injection. So every Thursday when I do my testosterone shot, it's Rose doing it for me. So it is a we thing. Yeah. I feel like we're doing this together. I would love to hear a little bit of your perspective on this whole thing.
I mean, what can I add into this? I definitely noticed that there's definitely been an increase in your confidence. And I liked how you mentioned like consciously and subconsciously, because I think I just see you in situations that previously maybe would have like brought on a little bit more anxiety, or you would have expressed to me beforehand how much like you're experiencing like nerves or whatever. I think that's definitely changed like here and there. And
for sure,
I would totally attribute that to just you feeling more like yourself and not having to deal with that extra layer of like,
I think it's helped too. Cause I didn't even think of this until right now, but I feel like my body fat is redistributing a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Not a lot, but a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because one of the things I've always been the most dysphoric about, one of the things in my body that has always bothered me from the time I hit puberty, is I never wanted to have wide hips. I never wanted to have like, you know, when you typically think of what feminine hips are, you think of like the curves and
the pear shape,
and holding and birthing babies and all that kind of stuff. And that's just something that like with my own body, I never wanted it to be curvy. I've never wanted that. And I've never felt comfortable with that. And so when I gained weight after high school and in like college and that kind of area of my life, I gained some pretty voluptuous love handles. Mm-hmm. And they have always been just a very big source of like anxiety for me and just discomfort. And randomly, like last week.
Yeah, also kind of like you just woke up and...
I was talking to Rose and I was looking at myself in the mirror and I think we were brushing our teeth or something. And I was just like, my hips are gone. Like they're still there. I still have hips. Like, it's not like I'm like, not like skinny or anything, but they're not curvy. They're more straight. It's like, there's more of a straight line from my armpits to my legs.
Yeah.
Down my torso.
For sure.
And it's like just a little thing, but honestly, that has made all the difference in so many different like clothing choices or t-shirt choices or just like, mm-hmm. that's something I struggle with all the time. Like that's the area where your shirt meets your pants. And I just, man, having big hips and no butt, that has been a struggle my whole life. And it's a little different now and I'm here for it.
Yeah, that was a good one. I just
Have there been any changes, do you think, with like our relationship?
I don't think so, but maybe in ways that like, I don't think so in a way that maybe this question is like formatted. Like, I don't think because I think just you going through this learning experience at the same time as you has been really like beneficial to just kind of being vulnerable with each other and like recognizing things that we don't know. And like just being able to do that together, I think is
a really
cool experience. And I don't know if that like, I think that we've incorporated that into other areas of our relationship as well.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it's been a beneficial change, I would say, but I don't think, that was Stash.
Not right now.
Making an appearance. He's tearing up our couch.
No, fairness, big kid purchase.
Oh yeah.
We've only been married for 3 years and we finally ordered like grown up couch.
A real person couch.
And we ordered it
beginning of January.
Yeah. And so we're very anxiously awaiting its arrival.
You said like 6 to whatever weeks for delivery. So trying to be patient.
Meanwhile, Stash is just tearing up this couch.
Hi, Stu.
Can we relax?
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, you want to play? I know.
Here.
Anyways, I think one of the things, just transitioning into what else we wanted to talk about, mm-hmm. is that we both, I don't want to say openly, but openly struggle with mental health mm-hmm. and have for a while and our whole lives.
Yeah.
Dare I say. Mm-hmm. And it's something that like we've been able to talk about a lot. And I think quarantine has a lot to do with that. Just like being home and being around each other. Like Rose is doing school full time from home, day in and day out. And when I say day in and day out, this person is waking up, putting on coffee, delving into work, taking a break, delving back into work, taking a break, delving back into work. I end my work day. They're still working on their schoolwork. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's even more that comes in. It's just like, it's a full-time job and they're doing it from home. And then I work a full-time job from home and my schedule isn't always 9 to 5. And then I have other things I do that take up.
Oh my gosh.
Stu. There's other things I do that take up some of my time, like cheerleading. And mm-hmm. I am in resource groups at work doing stuff. And then I have this podcast, which takes up a lot of time. And I've been trying to do a lot of social media for this podcast and personally to connect to the podcast because I really think that for our generation and for right now, while we're all at home, networking and finding people like you online is just like, has been a big benefit in us and how we've been mm-hmm. dealing with and getting through this time. And I think that representation is so important. And I just think that that's something that's helped. And I think even just like having this conversation and mm-hmm. just being like, yeah, this has been really hard, but like,
yeah, we found a lot of silver linings.
Yes. One of those very much being finding out the things that work for us and the things that don't work for us. And mm-hmm. I think right now, while everyone's at home, it would benefit all of us to just do a little introspection and just be kind of cognizant of what does and doesn't work for us because while the vaccines are being distributed and the time where we can maybe be more social in person with other people is on the horizon, it's not here yet. And waiting for it is going to be the hardest part. And when it's that close is going to be essentially what I'm trying to say is it's going to get harder before it gets easier. And we all could use a little help and recognition in ourselves at this time. It's like, like for us, it's just like figuring out how we communicate and how to get across what each other's feeling mm-hmm. and not, you know.
Yeah. It might sound kind of like silly too. Like, I totally would look at that concept of like figuring out what works and doesn't work for you. I would look at that concept and be like, well, obviously you can figure it out, but that's so not it. Like, there are things that I've been putting myself through because I was like, well, this is how it's done. And then when I like fail or don't succeed at doing that thing. And I'm like, well, I blame myself, but then I'm like, okay, this isn't working and how can I make it work better for me?
Right.
And like just having that little realization and then applying it to everything, like the smallest things from like how you organize your fridge. Like if I don't see things that are in the fridge, they're going to be there for the rest of forever until we clean out the fridge again. Or like if I don't have things written down in multiple places, it sounds like it'd be overwhelming to have lists everywhere, but it's like so helpful. Or just like little things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is just sitting down and maybe making a list of things that like are relaxing for you or things that are calming for you. And then making a list of things that maybe are a little more stressful for you. And it could be something as simple as like when you're going to do one of those things that are really stressful for you, just being cognizant that you know that this thing is going to be stressful and you just have to take a deep breath and you can get through it. And when you're done, you can just take that big sigh of relief and do something that's calming. It's just like finding that balance of making sure you get done the things you need to get done, but making sure that you're doing it in a way that's healthy and appropriate for you individually, mm-hmm. and not just great on paper.
I have a feeling all the neurotypical people listening to this will be like, but all the neurodiverse people will be like, yes.
But that's the thing. It has to be for everybody, right? Like,
yeah.
It's across the board, most things are aimed at neurotypical people. Mm-hmm. So having these conversations about people that have neurodivergent brains, you know what? This is like the shit we need, mm-hmm. brah.
Absolutely.
Just kidding. I don't know why I got sassy on there.
I liked it.
I know for myself, another thing that works really well is I have a paper agenda book. I know that sounds dated. And I have a work calendar on my computer in Outlook. I have a calendar on my phone and computer and whatever through Apple. That just sounded so old. Woo. But I have my iCalendar, and on my iCalendar, Rose and I have literally everything broken down by color coded by like, if it's a Rose appointment, a Beau appointment, if it's a social thing, if it's a family thing, if mm-hmm. We literally break it down by category and by color, because that's a way for us to be able to like quickly glance and look at a calendar and be like, okay, on this day we have a lot of this and that's difficult for us. So maybe on the days around that, we're not going to plan so much of those type of things. Mm-hmm. Like on the days that I'm really heavy in like Zoom or work meetings where I have to be one-on-one or face-to-face or on the phone a lot, I won't schedule as many like social or Zoom or really intense things that night, because it's just like, I don't have the brain power at the end of the day. And it's just these little things that seem so simple or seem so obvious can be really helpful.
Yeah.
All right. So I know we're talking a lot about introspection and all that, so I guess I should probably go into that a little further. So for those who don't know, introspection is kind of like an informal reflection into your own internal thoughts and feelings, kind of like reflecting on what your feelings mean, what your thoughts mean. This can be on your current mental experience or how you've been feeling in the past, any kind of thing like that, you know, just looking internal to how you feel and why you feel that way. And one of the reasons why this is so important is because research has shown that on average, people think more than 50,000 unique thoughts per day, of which more than half are negative and more than 90% are just repetitive thoughts from the day before. I'm going to say that one more time because I think that's so astronomical. Individuals on average think 50,000 unique thoughts per day. 25,000 or half of these thoughts are negative. And more than 90% of them are repeat thoughts from the day before. So we're spending half of our day replaying negative thoughts. And 90% of the thoughts that we're thinking on any given day are things we've thought about before. So taking these tasks and ideas or these checklists and breaking them down to little things can be very helpful. And moving on and being introspective and figuring out why you're feeling the way you're feeling can help reframe this and get rid of some of the negativity and get rid of some of the repetitive thoughts and clear your mind up for the tasks at hand. I know personally, I've realized over the past however long that I spend so much time worrying and stressing and just being concerned about how things are going to be or how things are going to go. And none of that worry and none of that fear or stress or anxiety is like purposeful. Mm-hmm. There's just like it's not going to change the outcome. There's nothing beneficial to it. It's just taking my brain and my energy away from everything else.
Yeah. And I feel like it sounds so simple to be like, stop putting your energy into these like thoughts. Cause it's like, okay, well, they just happen. How do I do that?
Right.
But like, you have to, this is where the introspection comes in. I feel like where you have to take that time to be like, let me sit with this thought and dissect this thought. And so just like allowing it to enter your brain, feel the, whatever you feel. And like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And there's so many different examples of like what you can do and what you can think. Like for us, it was just getting down to the basics. Like mm-hmm. we both have checklists every day of like simple tasks we have to do.
Yeah. I literally have like every day, take my meds, eat, drink water, eat again, like feed the fish, brush my teeth.
So along these lines, what I don't want to leave you just listening, thinking about what we do, because we're still very much figuring this out for ourselves. We're mm-hmm. just trying to share that process with you, but we want to share with you some examples of questions that you can ask yourself to either start self-reflection or to get to know yourself better. And maybe you can come with other ideas off of this. And I'm going to put the link from an article from Positive Psychology in the bio and in the information for this that has a list of 87 self-reflection questions for you all to look through if you want to, or if you want more examples, or if you want to see kind of the source of some of this information. But some of the questions you can ask yourself include, am I using my time wisely? Am I living to my true self? Am I taking care of myself physically? Am I thinking negative thoughts before I fall asleep? That's a really good one. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us spend a lot of time laying at night with our head on the pillow, stressing
yeah.
or worrying or focusing on the next day. And, mm-hmm. and there's more, let's see. If not now, then when? What matters most in life? I think that's a great one. I think a lot of us, at least speaking for myself and some of the people that I are in my circle, a lot of us grew up kind of following this pattern of what we thought we were supposed to do or what the right thing was. And none of that pattern really accounted for our own personal interests or feelings or neurotypicality. No, but just like, I feel like a lot of us were just like following the motions and going through with what we thought we wanted, but what matters to you isn't necessarily what matters to the person you're sitting next to or the person you walk past on the street or your parents or your siblings, or we all have our own unique goals and interests and hobbies and talents. And if what you are good at and what you love is different than someone else, that doesn't make it wrong or uninteresting or bad. It just makes it your own. And I think that's really important. And I think we all kind of at different points need to sit down and realign what's important to us and what matters and work forward from there. Mm-hmm. This is a really good one. What small act of kindness was I once shown that I will never forget?
Mm.
Do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, that is a good one. I guess a good example would be when I used to work in EMS, getting like a thank you card from a patient. I think that happened one time.
And it's just something so simple, but like they didn't need to do that. Like how many different hundreds of patients have you seen on an ambulance?
Right. Yeah.
And that one card, that one thank you, just like,
right. Not that I think that I deserve a thank you card for every patient. I'm just saying oh my gosh, I remember them. Like that was a really sweet encounter. And I'm glad that, you know, they're doing better and stuff.
Right. But it was a small act of kindness. Mm-hmm. Didn't take a lot of time or energy on their part. And it
for sure
will always stay put.
Yeah.
I love that. A small act of kindness. Honestly, the only thing popping into my head was a terrible period story, which is when I was in high school and I was at down the shore with one of my best friends. Oh, I don't even remember where we were, Ocean City or somewhere in New Jersey. And I got my period. It was one of the first times I ever got my period. And it was not regular at that point. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't like well prepared and educated on how to anticipate it, I guess.
Right.
So it came out of nowhere. I was on vacation with my friend's family, didn't have anything, wasn't prepared. And her mom was a rock star. Literally, it was like, okay, you stay here in the bathroom. I'll be right back. She had bought brand new underwear for the trip for herself. And mm-hmm. she gave me a pair of them, and like, they went and bought me pants, and I was just bawling, so embarrassed in this bathroom on the boardwalk. And I will just never forget like how human and okay.
Yeah.
She made me feel in that scenario.
I love that.
Yeah. It all just comes down to just like people caring for other people.
Mm-hmm. Just having that empathy a little bit to understand, like, if I were in the situation, what would I want someone to do for me? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, these are just examples of questions. Obviously this is something that is a very personal journey, and yours will look much different from mine, from Rose's, but something that maybe now while we're all sitting at home, carve out 10, 15 minutes once a week and just kind of look in, look back, figure some stuff out.
I was just clarity. About to say, put down the phone. But I was like, oh my God, boomer. Ugh. But actually.
Yeah.
Stop doom scrolling for a moment. And
along that same line, the other thing, the last thing on our list to talk about today was finding other people like you and using like finding your networking during this time. And I know we touched on it a little bit earlier when we talked about things that have helped, but I think one thing that's really important, especially for queer or questioning people, is just finding other people that are similar to you or finding people that are different than you. That is just like an example of the fact that there are other people out there. And I know for me in this journey of realizing I was trans, to be totally honest, when I first came out, when I was younger, 5 years ago with you. No, but seriously, when I like first came out, it was very much just like me trying to figure out who I was, but like not having anyone in my circle. Like we had a few queer coworkers or here or there, but we're all just as lost as each other, right? We're all just trying to figure out we're all trying to figure out our own stuff. It's like no one person is going to hold all the answers for someone else. And I think finding that community is so important. And it took us until we moved here to find that community and really find our own voice within that community. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so important, especially as we're all locked up at home. Some of us are snowed in. Some of us don't have power. It's, you know, it's challenging. And finding that connection and finding your people can be very helpful and very comforting. And I think it would help to maybe share some examples of how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got involved with a pretty incredible athletic organization.
I think one of the things is first of all, maybe just like think of a hobby or an interest that you really like to do and find a way to virtually do that with other people like you. Like for me, I found Cheer Seattle, which they were on the last episode of last year. So you definitely check back and find that. I think it's called Holiday Cheer. It's a great episode where we just kind of talked about chosen family and finding people that relate to you and how beneficial that can be. And I think that, so that's been one outlet for me. And I know in the past you've found friends through sports and things as well, just mm-hmm. kind of connecting on similar interests. Another thing on social media in particular, you can search hashtags. I know I've looked up like trans man or like hashtag FTM or like things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's really how in the very beginning I found like exposure.
Yeah.
And it sounds silly because like hashtags are like, I feel like especially for me, they became so popular. Like I wasn't in touch with it. I was like a little bit over that, but then they just like blew up. And I was like of this mindset of, I never need to learn hashtags. But like in reality, if you're going to use social media right now, hashtags are like
a great tool to.
Yeah. And they're just, they're everywhere and everyone knows what they are, or almost everyone at this point. And it's just,
yeah,
it's a great tool to don't overlook hashtags is what I'm trying to say. Don't be silly like me and wait forever.
Yeah. We found some pretty great people through hashtags. Well, that started out with looking at hashtags.
Yeah. No, but seriously, it made some great connections. And it's how I know one of my hobbies is art. And I don't think I'm necessarily great at it. I don't think that I am going to do anything wonderful with it anytime soon. But I love like painting and I love expressing things that way. And I love seeing other artists' work and finding like other trans or non-binary artists on Instagram has been such a source of emotional and like every other, I don't want to say release, but just like a breath of fresh air for me. It's been so great to see how people portray their feelings when they're feelings that I can relate to in just like such a different medium. And that's just another way of like finding that through a hashtag on Instagram has opened me up to this whole world of people that understand how I feel.
Yeah.
I know there's like resource groups at work or at school, the Gay Straight Alliances, things like that. I think that's really all I have. The main theme of this episode is this is us. This is what we're doing. This is
is very much us right now. Like this whole like,
yeah, this is what we're struggling with. This is what we're working on. And here's what we've learned that's worked and doesn't. And hopefully maybe it'll be helpful for someone else. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that being said, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Bo My God. I'm Bo Bradley, your host. You can find me on Instagram at Bo Brads. You can find us on Instagram at Bo My God Pod. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and follow. You can also find Rose, my person, confidant, ride or die. You can find Rose on Instagram at RoBrads, RoBrads. And thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you next time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, y'all.